be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe. And
welcome back to Integral Life's teleseminar, Love, Not War, Going Home for the Holidays. I'm David Reardon, and I'm your host tonight as we bring you the fifth and final show in our Home for the Holidays series. Tonight, we're going to find out how Hui Lam's visit with his family went over the holidays. Welcome, Hui.
Hi, David. It's nice to be back. I'm feeling excited and a little bit nervous today, but looking forward to sharing my experiences, and a big hello to everyone out there as well.
We can't wait, Hui. This is going to be a really interesting night. And to help us sort out what happened when Hui went home is Hui's coach for this series, Susan Hodges. Hi, Susan.
Hi, David. Welcome back, Hui.
Thank you.
Well, it's nice to have you back on board, Susan. This is going to be a really interesting exploration, as we said. So, you know, before the holidays, we left you in the audience with three questions that we wanted you to hold as you spent time with your families. And those three questions were, one, what are your expectations for your visit with your family? Two, how are you going to do whatever you do with skillful means? And three, how can you manage your emotions when they do come up? Now, it's no surprise to me that as I've listened to Hui's stories from his holiday visit that we're going to share with you tonight, that these three themes came up for him in some really interesting way. So what happened to him is obviously tied to his family story and context. But as we'll see, these are three universal questions that we can all relate to in our own stories about our relationships with our families. So we've got a lot to reveal tonight, but first, just let me do that housekeeping thing that we do with each show. And I just want to remind any of you on the call tonight or those that have downloaded show 5, if you have not yet listened to show 1, 2, 3, or 4, you can download the recordings for those shows on the Home for the Holidays webpage. And to access these four recordings, go to www.integrallife.com and click on the Home for the Holidays medallion on the left-hand side of the homepage, and then follow the links to show 1, 2, 3, or 4. And you'll also find a practice that was suggested for all of you to reflect on over the holidays, so I'm sure you guys all did that, and you'll find that there as well. Also, tonight we are giving away the 3 integral coaching sessions to one lucky and very deserving winner of our Home for the Holidays contest based on your votes on our 3 semifinalist stories that Susan and I actually went over in during show 4. So you may want to stay tuned until the end of the show to hear our announcement of the winner. So we've come back from the holiday visit, or you've come back from the holiday visit, and with some stories that you feel represent what happened to you when you went home for the holidays. And they include, I'm just going to go really quickly through this because we're going to do this more in detail, how the practices that Susan gave you helped you ground your intention to show up differently with your family, how you were more attentive to the opportunities your family offered for interaction. There was a pivotal moment that you're going to go into between you and your mother that you guys shared. And then there was something you did with your dad that I thought was really interesting. And then also, you actually shared with your family members some of your work, and so we'll hear how that went. And lastly, and throughout of all of these, actually, how did you manage your emotions when you noticed, you know, that crazy sort of lazy withdrawal thing that we've been talking about with you in the first 3 shows, when that popped up again, or did it in interactions, and how did you manage that? We are going to go into each of these in more detail, but before we do that, can you share with us just a little bit about what your overall impressions were about your visit?
Sure, yeah, I'd love to. Well, the first thing I noticed as I reflected back on the experience was that even before I got to my parents' house, I had this kind of a sense that I was going into it differently than I ever had before. Hmm. Of course, through the coaching with Susan, I gained some new insights. So I felt a new sense of inspiration, and I also felt the support of, you know, that I received from her. In addition to that, I also felt the tremendous pressure. The tremendous opportunity I had to you know, share my story with all of you out there. And knowing that was the case was kind of, you know, a greater inspiration and also motivation for me to take some risks that perhaps I, you know, might not have previously. Mm-hmm. And the practice that Susan gave me, which I was able to engaged both before and during my visit really helped me to then take advantage of the opportunities that were presented to me. And although I did make, I felt like I did make some steps forward towards my my goal and of my topic of connecting more fully and engaging in new ways with my family, very tangible steps, which, I'll share some experiences in a bit. I also did notice how there were still some limitations. And what was different this time, though, was I was able to name the, so I said, don't worry, be happy showing up again. And so that, that also was something that was new. And so, overall, I was pretty happy about it. And I'm sure, as I gauge with my wonderful coach, Susan, tonight, there'll probably be more insights that are elucidated from my experience.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, thanks, Wei, for that. And Susan, you have listened to Wei's stories as well, and we'll explore the details with him on each one tonight. But what are your general impressions about what Wei has told you about his visit, and what do you really want to dig in more deeply with him tonight?
Sure. So first, Wei, I just want you to remind you that I am here to support you. So I appreciate your sharing the sense of nervousness with us, and I'm here with you, and I know David is too. And when you were sharing your experiences with me, I was holding those three themes in mind. And I was also listening for clues that you might be picking up your current way of seeing, going, and checking, otherwise known as don't worry, be happy. I was also noticing how the deep sea diver of others' interiors, your new way of being, how he might be surfacing. So, David, what struck me in Hui's response was the unspoken as it relates to theme three.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, I missed hearing how Hui managed his emotional experience during his visit. So thus far, we've learned that don't worry, be happy has a way of underemphasizing or sometimes of not even noticing his emotional discomfort. So when Hui experiences emotional discomfort, typically he notices it in the form of a particular somatic sensation. And so the way of don't worry, be happy is to go into lazy withdrawal or to move on to the next thing and to generally focus on the positive. So Hui, I'm curious, were you aware that you shared with us or with me what dives you took without referring to how you actually felt energetically and emotionally as you took those dives?
I guess I'm aware of it now as you mentioned it, but no, I hadn't really thought about it in that way before.
Okay, great. Thank you. So first, and it's important for all of us to note that we all have unique ways of managing emotions. And there's really no right or wrong. It's more of what does it allow for and what's it shutting down given a particular context. So in this case, we're witnessing once again how Hui primarily orients from the perspective of doing, where he's checking his energy level to make sure everything's okay for him and for others. So to develop the way of the deep sea diver of others' interiors, we wanted to build Hui's capacity to notice the beliefs and emotions that drive his way of going, that drive his way of taking dives or of not taking dives, and to actually begin to experiment with a new way of going. So I designed Hui's most recent practice to build these specific muscles. It stretched him to mobilize his passion for his topic, which he alluded to, and to move through the discomfort of making waves simply by taking deeper dives into his family's caves so as to know them more fully and to be known more fully by them. So given what Hui didn't report about his visit, I'm wondering, David and Hui, if we might dive a bit more deeply in this call into theme three as we discuss each of Hui's stories going forward, and then maybe further explore how Don't Worry, Be Happy might be filtering Hui's energetic and emotional experience. What do you think?
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's thank you for that, Susan. That really helps set us up here. I think it's interesting, what Wei noted about his visit and what you have picked up sort of between the lines. So let's now go into each of those stories in more detail. And Wei, let's start with how practice that Susan gave you helped with your intentions for this holiday visit to be different.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, what I noticed right away was that I had a different feel this time, right from the start. And
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of noticing that the connections with my family aren't as deep per se as, you know, some of my relationships that I have with my friends or peers and colleagues, rather I was attentive to the opportunities that did arise for me to share. And, you know, in some cases was able to actually engage in those new opportunities. And, you know, also in doing the practice that Susan created for me of, you know, each morning getting up and really breathing in and feeling the intention that I had to, you know, show up and engage with my family in new ways and to explore their interiors, and grounding that in my body, you know, through my breath and my body, that actually helped me to feel more connected to that on a moment-to-moment basis, as opposed to just having, you know, a thought or intention I had on my way to my parents' house and, you know, just an idea that I just quickly forgot. And so that was really helpful.
Well, Susan, do you have any questions about that?
Yeah, I'm wondering if I might just lead with asking some questions.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
How did having different expectations change your experience with your family?
Yeah, well, you know, Susan, as you recall, when you first asked me what my topic was, I said to you the best way to share my topic was to talk about this contrast, right, of how I relate to others that are in the integral community and, you know, my wife and peers, as opposed to how I go when I go back home, the difference in that what I can, you know, what I would felt in the depth of the connection. And so having this different expectation now and not necessarily expecting it to be the same, you know, not expecting my parents or my siblings to be able to relate to me the same as, you know, you or David might relate to me, that actually allowed me to kind of feel more relaxed and also give me a greater sense of appreciation for just spending time with them, and also to notice, you know, what they were offering, and also notice, you know, the opportunities that were there for me to connect.
So it sounds maybe like a greater capacity to be with what is, and then to kind of engage it, given what is. Does that sound right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a more specific sense of what facilitated the shift in expectations?
I do. I think it was, you know, working with my current way of being of don't worry, be happy. And as I did the initial practice of witnessing that arise, what I noticed a couple of things. One was that there is kind of an expectation I have that, you know, what it means for me to feel connected and what how I feel energetically engaged, right? And how that's just my way of connecting. That doesn't necessarily mean that's the way what it feels like for my mom, right, or my dad.
Yeah.
And so when that became clear to me in our sessions, you know, then I was able to see, oh, okay, you know, this is just my view of it, and there's other, and if I really want to connect, it's not just about how I perceive things, but it's also getting to be more intimate with how, you know, my family, you know, what it is for them to feel connected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I heard you laugh. It's kind of, it's interesting when things aren't on our radar, and suddenly with the coaching conversations, they become on our radar, and it's almost humorous. Like, wow, how have I been going on all this time without noticing that my family may not relate to me similarly, and we all are in the same family, but wow, we are all really different.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of feels like, you know, it was just a great shift in perspective I had, you know, in our sessions together and, you know, through you, you know, highlighting what I came out of my practice. And then, therefore, having that even in my awareness beforehand really allowed me to, you know, kind of have these different expectations as I went, you know, home for the holidays.
Yeah. So, okay, so how did the practice go? Or what specific ways did you apply it?
You know, the practice you asked me to do in terms of engaging with my family and asking how I can help. And one of the clearest ways probably of how that showed up was there was a this moment when I was in the kitchen and my mom spent a lot of time cooking, especially over the holidays, because, you know, not only is my family there, my sister's family's typically over, and my brother's over, and sometimes aunts and uncles will drop in. And she's in the in the kitchen cooking a lot. And one night, some people dropped by unexpectedly, so she was feeling, particularly stressed. And instead of doing what I might typically do in the past, I would just say, "Oh, why don't you relax and it'll get done, and take a deep breath." So instead, I said, "Well, how can I help?" And so I ended up chopping some onions and washing some vegetables, and just helping her in the kitchen.
Wow.
And so I felt like I was able to, directly from the coaching, from the practice, that enabled me to create that experience with her, whereas in the past, that's not typically something that I did.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Nice move.
Especially onions, cutting onions.
Yeah.
great choice.
Mm-hmm.
What if anything, did you have to overcome or move through in order to make the offer and to follow through with it? Remember how Don't Worry, Be Happy has a difficult time kind of mobilizing?
So what did I have to overcome? I guess for Don't Worry, Be Happy, what initially comes up is when I hear her saying, oh, my God, I have so much to do, and I don't know if there's enough food, and that type of thing. From Don't Worry, Be Happy's view, it's, my natural instinct is, don't worry about it. It'll be worked out. It'll be fine. And there is a sense of discomfort in her that I also might feel in myself. What I had to overcome was of kind of wanting to move past that discomfort, but rather to move into it, and to move into it by making an offer as opposed to, telling her to, to move on or moving on myself.
Oh, I really like how you just described that when you sense discomfort in someone else, you actually feel like it's impressing you in some way, and I haven't heard you use that language before. And that really helps me understand how you energetically work in that we space. It may not be so much with that palpable emotional awareness right away, but you sure pick it up energetically. And so then to move through that energetic disturbance into offering to help, thereby released the distress, and it connected you in a bigger way. That's great. So I'm curious, what became available to you as you helped her? So, what impact did your helping have, maybe on you energetically or emotionally, or in terms of how often you self-disclosed in conversation or things like that?
Yeah, well, what I noticed was that I actually enjoyed doing it. So what became available to me was I actually just felt, I just kind of felt like I was enjoying my experience of being there. And, as we were working together in the kitchen, we weren't talking a lot, and occasionally we would, just by kind of talk about what needed to get done. But I actually felt connected to her, and wasn't in the way that I, typically in the past would have expected to, in terms of an expectation of having a deeply meaningful conversation about something that I might care about, but rather doing, this very practical, chopping onions while my mom was, frying up the fish, I felt a connection to her, and I felt like this is something we were sharing together. And also, for me, I felt very engaged. And I felt just kind of a sense of, just kind of a very fulfilling, just very fulfilling experience in something so simple.
Wow.
I'm just curious, did your mom notice anything? I mean, did she actually say anything, or was it more sort of in your sort of holding of that connection with her?
Yeah, that was a good question. Well, I did sense her in that she seemed to relax, and she wasn't as best, and she wasn't complaining. She wasn't worried, expressing any concern anymore.
Right.
And then I had a friend over later that night who happened to be in town. And when he got there, I kind of got some food ready for him as well, and I served him. And then it was funny because I left the room, And then I heard her saying something about how I was being so nice. She's like, oh, he's being so nice this evening.
Aren't moms great? Their moms are just great. He's being so nice.
It was almost like, I'm not so sure what's gone into me. He's being so nice this evening.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, there's a couple ways I could take that. But
mm-hmm. Just take
it
in.
A nice way there.
Yeah, I would say you should.
Great. Hui, is there another example you'd like to share?
Yeah, there was, I was back home and, you know, I hadn't gotten Christmas presents yet because I got into my parents' house early and had some time. And so I was considering what to get for my father. And, you know, I know that he has kind of a stressful job and he's usually, when he works, he's very kind of, you know, workaholic and it's a lot of pressure. And so when he's home, I know he enjoys relaxing by watching kind of action movies, kung fu movies, or, you know, war movies and stuff like that. And so for Christmas, I decided to take him out to see like three different movies. We actually went out over, you know, a period of a week or so and went to see three different movies together. And it was a really great experience doing that together with him.
Yeah.
These were three action movies?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Well, Susan, do you have any questions about that one?
Well, I don't know why this is striking me as funny, but imagining relaxing to action movies is entertaining to me in this moment. So
I love that.
Can't you see how Ninja Assassin would be very relaxed?
Okay. Well, I think what strikes me right away is you, when we first described the practice, you had some concerns about what to do, like how do I engage the family, and if I said, I offered a way of maybe looking in the eyes and asking how you might help them, and it felt to me like that was intense, so there was this, it felt too probing, and so given your concern about knowing how to be of support at an appropriate level, how did you decide that going to see action movies with your father would be a good gift for him?
Yeah, it was actually, how that came up was I took him to a computer store and to help him get a new printer for his office.
Mm.
And while we were there, we were walking out and down the aisles, there was, you know, DVDs and movies, and he started browsing the movies and he said, let's get this movie. And I said, Dad, you already saw that movie. He said, how about this one? I'm like, well, that movie's like 30 years old, you know, just because it's on DVD doesn't mean it's new. And then eventually he did pick one, you know, it's like this old kung fu movie. And so in that experience, what I realized was, oh, this is, you know, that this is what he's interested in. You know, this is what he's drawn to, you know. So as opposed to thinking about, okay, what am I going to get him that I think that he might like, I actually picked up from him. I mean, he wasn't telling me so much, you know, in a conscious way, but in a way he was, you know, he was showing this is what he's interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that moment, I kind of had that, or actually, I think driving home from the store there, that I had that idea of, you know, what to give him for Christmas.
Wow. So what I'm hearing is the grounding in intention as the deep sea diver of really wanting to explore your other family members' caves. So in this case, being able to hold those automatic assumptions about what you know about your father and hearing him in a new way, watching his behavior allowing him to teach you a little bit more.
Yeah, and so exactly, and that was one of the things that, you know, that's a specific example of what I said earlier in terms of how even going home with a different expectations and a different set of intentions, and that were also, that, as you mentioned, were grounded, allowed me to see opportunities where in the past I might not have seen the opportunities to connect.
Yeah, your way of orienting underwater shifted, and somehow you were still able to navigate down there.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, too, if you think about your natural way of orienting by doing, how do you think your father orients, given the gift that he enjoyed?
I think, you know, he certainly orients by doing as well.
Uh-huh.
And so it was something that we were able to do together.
Yeah, that's right. So So there's some resonance there. Right.
So when you guys go to the movies like that, do you actually talk about them afterwards? Do you do your own reviews and say, I like that, didn't like that? I mean, is there something that goes on beyond just the viewing of the movie together?
That's another good question, because one of the movies I took him to is called Red Cliff, and it's a John Woo movie. It's a kind of a Chinese Dynasty Wars movies, you know, kind of Forbidden Kingdoms and, you know, kind of big battle scenes. And what I didn't realize was that he had this interest and a fascination, actually, with that period of time. And he had read, you know, kind of historical books on it and fictional books on it and seen, you know, old Kung Fu movies about it. And so after we watched that movie, he actually, you know, I asked him what he thought about it. And already knowing that he loved it, because, I mean, he felt like if there was a movie that could have actually been made for him, it would have been that movie. I mean, it was, I also really enjoyed it too. It was a great movie. And when I asked him, I didn't realize this. And so he actually shared with me, he's like, oh, that's the battle of, you know, of this war, and then this character ends up becoming king, and so you're actually telling me about what happens, and, you know, what happens later on, and what led up to that. And so it was great, because it, you know, I didn't realize that about him, and I also was able to pick up on his kind of just a general sense of enthusiasm that he has for this, and he felt, you know, kind of somewhat childlike, even, you know, in the way that he was, like, excited about. Anyway, I don't think he knew what to expect. You know, I just said, oh, trust me, you'll like this movie.
Right.
Yeah, the arts are great that way. You know, they do allow us to have a common space to talk about. And oftentimes, I think we reveal things about ourselves that other people didn't know, you know, within the context of those narratives, you know, or, like you said, with prior information and history and filling in the blanks and all that. It was great.
And I think it also allowed me to connect with that piece of him, you know, because he's he was a former military person, and he's actually still a general in a reserve in the U.S. military. And so there's also that kind of, you know, the military and the, you know, kind of strategic aspect of him that came out, you know, because his interest in this, you know, kind of ancient, you know, war in China. And so just speaking about that a little bit, and actually we even talked a little bit about business afterwards, and so it kind of led into different sort of conversation, which was, you know, once again, I felt like it probably wouldn't have happened, or wouldn't have been as easy to go into that space without, you know, creating that opportunity by, you know, taking him to the movies in that way.
Wow. And given that, I'm thinking now that you actually shared some of your own work with your father. You mentioned that you showed them, your family, the yoga book that you're featured in.
Yeah, I found this fascinating. this one I want to hear, because I remember we were talking about how do you share your work, and then actually a situation came up while you were home where that actually happened. What happened with that one?
It was actually right before I left for my trip. I received a copy of a yoga book that is kind of based on pictures of people doing yoga, kind of off the mat in different settings, and, you know, not even traditional yoga. The book's actually called You Don't Have to Stand on Your Head. And I was in it because one of my friends, Dee, who I met at an Integral Institute workshop, she was coming to Boulder to take some photos of herself for the book and asked if I wanted to be in it as well.
Right.
And so I did. And, you know, in the past, it probably wouldn't be something I typically share with my family, because I, you know, might think, oh, I don't know if they'll really get it or appreciate it. But this time, as I was packing, I kind of saw the book, and I was like, you know what, I think I'm going to bring it along and show them, you know, just show them this one aspect of what I'm involved in. And I was pleasantly surprised by the interest they took in it, and, you know, particularly even my father, who, you know, after I showed it to him, he was like, wow, and, you know, I thought I was just going to show him the pictures, but he actually opened the book and he started reading some of it. And when my brother-in-law came by, he actually showed my brother-in-law, and he said, like, you know, he's like, look at this. And so it was a great experience, and, you know, feeling like I was able to share a little bit more about what I did that they're not, you know, not really a part of, you know, kind of a world part of my world.
So, Hui, to connect this example that you just shared with the example about your father, do you think that you would have been able to have shown them the yoga book, assuming you had it, right off the bat as you got off the plane? How would it have been different for you doing it then as opposed to at the end of the trip?
Yeah, it was towards the end. I think about that. Yeah, I guess it would have felt like a bigger risk, you know, it would have felt like, you know, where I am at in some ways and the feeling of kind of what we share together, it would have felt like a bigger gap between, you know, or a risk to do that, whereas further on in the visit, it felt more, just kind of felt more natural.
Yeah. You led your family on an interesting journey over the course of the visit. Yeah. So by the deep sea diver taking little baby risks, you know, sticking his toe in the water and then going a little bit deeper each time with various family members, but particularly your mom and dad, greater resonance was built. So there was you created some safety and trust that wasn't there before. Remember how you talked about that trust being there with you and your daughter, which you weren't so sure that it would be possible with your father?
Yeah.
So what do you think about what happened with your family?
Yeah, one of the things that I took away from that was that, once again, is that we talked about this before, and this is what helped me, is that before my trip in one of our sessions, I was kind of become aware of the fact how, I'm afraid of being vulnerable, right? And that there's a part of me that is, that is basically afraid that if I share something and it's not received, there may be, you know, kind of like I might feel rejected or not or misunderstood. And it's something that I kind of don't even acknowledge. And because I don't acknowledge it, I'm also unaware that, you know, there are opportunities to share that I actually don't choose to. And in this case where I did consciously choose to share, it basically has kind of given me like a whole different perspective. So it feels like, oh, if I could share that, then what other opportunities are there that I can share? And also it got me thinking, well, some of the assumptions I had in the past of, you know, they won't understand or that they're not interested, you know, that's the question, right? And maybe there's to see that there's actually new opportunities for me to do so. And even though at the same time I noticed that there's some, there's some kind of that's still an edge for me. And there's also part of my practice in terms of how am I, you know, how do I do that in a way that, that can be what will be received by them.
Yeah. So what would you say you need to release in order to share with them or in order to take more risks?
Yeah, well, I think it's releasing that the fear of, you know, not being seen, you know, the fear of of if, you know, what if I do this and then they don't get it or they don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
And so it's so release the comfort really and be willing to take a risk.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to loop it back to theme 3 about how you manage your emotional experience. So I was going to ask, how do you register that you're afraid?
Yeah, I think for me, I actually feel it's kind of like a tightness in my upper abdomen, lower kind of solar plexus area, and kind of like my level of awareness and tension feels kind of contracted, and there's this like a feeling of wanting to move on. You know, okay, let's move on to the next thing. Move on to something. And even when I said that, you know, I'm sure you noticed I laughed a little bit, and so it's that type of move on to something else, make light of it.
Yeah, and how are you finding that you're beginning to be able to move through that? What are you drawing upon to help you do that?
Well, I think having the awareness and the insight about the current way of being, so my don't worry, be happy, and just name it to name it, mm-hmm. has allowed me to make, which has been my, you know, kind of the lens through which I see things. It's just kind of subjective to me. Then I can name it, and so when I'm able to name it, it just gives me a little bit more space to work with it.
Yeah.
And then that allows me to at least see new possibilities. You know, I don't always take them, but it does allow me to at least see that there's, you know, a different choice I can make.
Like, oh, okay, this is happening, so it's just that. It's just fear. So it doesn't have to always be this way. Maybe there's something else that can happen now.
Yeah, exactly. And in addition to that, I think there's also, you know, as opposed to just focusing on how I'm feeling, there's, you know, able to focus also on, okay, how is this going to impact others? You know, how does this impact my family, and how will this allow me to be closer to them? How will this allow them to feel closer to me?
Mm. Great. Oh, this is great. Well, great. So what impact, when you shared the yoga book with them, what impact did you have on your family members? It's kind of a different way of looking at it, huh?
Well, it felt like, you know, certainly there was some, you know, since I like to speak about this, it certainly felt like there was more energy, you know, that my, and, you know, thinking of my father, he seemed like he was interested, and he, you know, when he shared, he kind of, you know, asked me how I got involved in it, and I think the other impact is that I think that it allowed, you know, it's interesting how I might even hesitate to say this, but I think it allowed my father, you know, to have a sense of, you know, feeling that he, a sense of pride in that, you know, that I was in something like that. You know, that's part
huge.
Of who I am.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah. What's coming up for you as you register with your father being proud of you, Hui? I don't want to put you completely on the spot, but can you help? Because I think this is really, I want to honor that. Especially, I mean, think about it. You are stepping up to be coached in a public format because you care so much about your family. And I want to honor also that your family loves you very much. So you're helping them by even being in this work.
Yeah, and, you know, that's part, you know, that's kind of why I was motivated to do it in the first place, you know, to take this, you know, to take the, certainly what I feel is a risk to do this, you know, to do this and to do it in a public context.
Yeah. Yeah, and to find out that they actually do care and they're quite proud of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to also recognize that part of that is to, you know, share it myself so that that even gives them the opportunity to be proud.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not, so it's just not something that I expect of them or waiting for them, but it's rather of, oh, what is my, you know, what is my part in that, and how can I facilitate that connection and understanding?
Yeah, that's your beautiful heart, Kui. It sounds like the deep sea diver has made several natural appearances. So great job.
Thank you. And thank you for your support.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then we always, you know, integral, it's both and. So then we then need to ask, so did you experience any challenges with Don't Worry, Be Happy showing up?
No, there was nothing to worry about at all. I was happy the whole time.
Uh-huh. Sounds like you had some fun.
Liar.
Well, you know, it is interesting because if I think about that question, even though I know that's not true, there is a part of me, if, you know, hence my current way, that somewhat feels like that. And but when I really think about it, you know, I think there were definitely some times when I felt, you know, that sense of lazy withdrawal that I discussed earlier in our sessions about just feeling, you know, not wanting to engage or just almost like being in my own space and, you know, kind of being detached, not actually witnessing, but just actually kind of detach from what was going on around me. And, you know, it didn't come up as often, but I did notice it a few times. And, you know, one time in particular was with my family always has a huge Christmas Eve party where we kind of have this huge feast, and we invite all of my, you know, relatives over, and there's, you know, 20 to 30 people. And this year my father invited one of his uncles that he, you know, that we typically doesn't typically come over. And I think he told my mom, you know, near the, you know, closer to the day, I think it was like the day before. And my dad's uncle also has a wife and two kids, and one of them's married, so there was not just one person, it was like five extra people coming. And so he was, you know, kind of talking to my dad, and they were kind of, you know, not exactly arguing, but she was, you know, complaining about it. And I was in the room with them, and I just kind of felt, at the time, I just felt like I just didn't want to engage in it, you know. And it was only afterwards, when I was talking with my wife, Jackie, about it, that I realized that I actually had an opportunity to. You know, I had the opportunity to, because of what I was feeling was that, you know, instead of being worried about, you know, if there's going to be enough food or how, you know, we're going to seat everybody around the table, it could have been, look, this is, you know, part of what Christmas is about, you know, is being with family and being generous and being together, and here's an opportunity to do that. And even if it's different than we expect, you know, this is part of the whole Christmas spirit. And that is a perspective I could have shared, but I, you know, I didn't.
Okay, so let's hold that with compassion, right? So let's explore that. I'm curious if you were detecting discomfort in your body somewhere.
Yeah, because I certainly felt the tension, you know, in my mom and my dad as they were kind of having their argument around it. And so feeling their tension, their discomfort, I felt it too. And
How did you feel it before you?
Yeah, like I, yeah, as I stated a little bit earlier, you know, I actually feel like a tightness in my body, and you know, kind of a more shallow breath, and don't worry, be happy. It feels like just, you know, kind of want to either just, you know, leave and don't want to be a part of the conversation, or you know, just kind of quickly move towards a resolution.
Uh-huh. And what about the fear of what would happen if you actually engaged them? So we know that there's a need to actually have the momentum to move through the disturbance. So there's a conscious choice and a way of getting in your body to do that. But then what about the impact of being so visible?
Yeah, I guess there was just a fear of what if what I offer, you know, actually makes it the matters worse. You know, what if I go into the you know, the kind of chaos or the, you know, all this emotion and it makes it worse, you know, or if I, you know, offer something and it's not understood or it's rejected. And that, you know, because if I'm just witnessing, it's one thing, but then if I engage directly, then I'm making myself vulnerable to being more directly involved in that.
So just don't worry, be happy. Have a way of determining if more chaos would ensue.
Not sure. I think it's probably something that I kind of do very, you know, unconsciously, in terms of quickly assessing, like, is this something that I feel like I can, you know, help? Is this a situation I feel like I have some capacity to help resolve in some way?
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, you know, in retrospect, thinking, well, I don't necessarily need to, you know, just resolve something. In retrospect, it was more, well, can I offer a perspective that's true for me, and perhaps it's something that can also shift perspective of my parents in a way that can bring about something that's, you know, more meaningful to, you know, this moment than getting what I would, you know, getting, you know, overly stressed by, you know, some details.
Yeah, so this gets back to what you were talking about before, about in a moment, gut instinct is to go with don't worry, be happy. And it sounds like in this case, the awareness of, oh, this is Don't Worry, Be Happy showing up. Okay, so let me just sit with that and maybe come to the conclusion that you just shared, that maybe there's a different perspective I can offer here. Like there's a gap of awareness that gives you some space to actually think in constructive ways. It sounds like that circuit was short-circuited quickly. The gut instinct was to just withdraw and kind of shut down.
Yeah, and even as I hear you reflect back to me what I said, it just occurred to me right now, even that, you know, even another move I could have made was, because even offering a different perspective is maybe a more healthy way, but it's still moving towards some resolution. And, you know, another move I could have made was actually ask my mom, you know, so how can I help, or what is it that you're really concerned about, and you know, to actually explore what she was feeling.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that would even have been more risky for me.
Yeah. Yeah, so what would it have required for you to become more engaged in those moments?
Well, it required for me a willingness to, you know, kind of go into what my parents were feeling and go move into the what I would perceive as discomfort, and move into, you know, the kind of the messiness of the conversation, and be vulnerable and be willing to move into it without necessarily knowing how it would be resolved. You know, just to be okay. This is my step forward, my step in, and not needing in advance, you know, this is how it's going to end, but just be willing to be in it as it is.
Yeah. David and Hui, what I'm thinking of right here is we've talked a couple of times about practices that we offer in addition to the noticing practices, and a big one is typically meditation or some other kind of slowing down and getting in the body practice.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's being able to slow down and have the body be a container to kind of hold the chaos so that our higher minds can come online and we can figure out how to go a bit differently. You know, our intuitive awareness and creativity can arise in that space. And so, Hui, you're developing that capacity. You've already developed it quite well, but in this particular topic, it sounds like you've been able to access it in some significant ways, and you're aware now that you're getting there with the smaller risks, and you're feeling your edge maybe around the larger risks. This was kind of a bigger risk situation.
Yeah, definitely. With, you know, if my parents are arguing with each other, it definitely feels like a bigger risk for me to step into that.
Great. Well, so Hui, overall, how did you assess the degree to which you were successful in fulfilling your goals, maybe for this particular visit?
It's an interesting question, because you said, how did I assess my goals or degree to which I was successful? And I think about that, well, if I'm honest, how do I actually go about assessing it? I have a very, you know, as you said earlier, have a very kind of an action or doing oriented
right.
approach. And so my initial way of assessing would be, did I do the practice that, you know, Susan
right.
you know, gave me to do? And how well did I engage my practice? And so there's, from that view, I feel that I did, you know, I feel like I made progress. You know, I feel like I took some risks and I was able to make some progress. And not only in, you know, with my practice, but I actually felt like there were some ways of connecting with my family and some things I learned about them and that they learned about me, which were enabled because of the coaching we did and the practices that I engaged in. So I felt really good about that. And, you know, and although my tendency is to not typically emphasize the times which, you know, I don't show up, or if I, you know, when I feel uncomfortable, you know, I also... doing this practice also highlighted those moments too, because I have a more awareness around that. So it's given me, you know, some additional motivation as well to know that, you know, I've made some steps, but there's still more to go.
Yeah. So
farther to go.
To clue everyone in, what I'm doing by asking how he assesses, as I'm asking Hui to broaden the scope of how he checks. So Don't Worry, Be Happy has a particular way of checking for things, typically his own energetic experience or what he's doing. And so what we're hearing from Hui is that he's now checking by how did my family members respond to me. And I'm also wanting to add in there, Hui, what about your emotional experience? How might that be included in the assessment of how things went?
Well, I felt, you know, I definitely felt a sense of, you know, there was some risk, you know, and some nervousness in terms of how I would apply these practices, and also knowing that I would come back and talk to you and everyone else about it. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, what I in going through that and taking the risk, I felt, you know, a sense of fulfillment, and also the connection with my family felt, it felt like the practice I'm doing is very, it's very meaningful. You know, it's very, there's a very direct impact for what I'm engaged in. So it kind of felt very reaffirming for me.
Yeah.
Of, you know, why I'm doing any of this in the first place.
Thank you. And then also, Hui, did you directly check with your family? Do you have a sense by looking at them, maybe how they're responding? They might smile. But did you check with any particular family members, or did they offer you feedback? And then I'd also like to include your wife in this, because she knew what you were doing. She knew what you were up
yeah.
to.
No, I actually didn't ask them. So
yeah.
No, I didn't. Yeah, you know, I didn't check with them, and they didn't offer me any feedback either. So
okay.
Yeah. So once again, I, you know, obviously just you just asking the question, you know, kind of allowed me to see, oh, well, here's the way I would check, as opposed
yeah.
to some other ways that I might check.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just broadens the possibilities, right? The deep sea diver can access family members in a greater way, more skills. Yeah. So maybe, David, if I might ask just one or two more questions.
Sure.
To close. So Hui, what's the next step for you in continuing to develop as a deep sea diver of others' interiors? Or maybe another way of saying it is that what's your edge at this point?
Yeah, yeah, and I think a few actually came up that's coming to mind to me right now when you ask that question based on what we just discussed. You know, one is to be more willing and just even have it in my awareness to directly check with my family members or about their experience, you know, and directly elicit that and say, you know, how are you feeling about this, or how did you receive what I offered directly as opposed to just intuiting it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big one. Another thing that comes up when you ask that question is, you know, being willing to go into what I would perceive as discomfort or kind of uncomfortable circumstances, and particularly when I don't, you know, kind of feel like, oh, I don't know how it's going to resolve, or I don't know where it's going to lead, but being willing to move forward and participate in you know, moments that feel emotionally uncomfortable to me. You know, kind of the other edge that I noticed was that, you know, in sharing that yoga book with my family, it was something concrete, you know, because they could see the pictures and they could read about what was written. But one thing that came up was, on the way back from the Integral Spiritual Experience workshop,
mm-hmm.
I had two of our great friends, Barbara and Emily, two fellow coaches, and actually Barbara's
mm-hmm.
husband. They dropped me off at my aunt and uncle's house because they were having a party for my parents for their birthday. And my uncle came out, and he just ushered my friends in. They said, come, you have to come inside. And he kind of wouldn't take no for an answer. He brought them inside, and we had a really great experience. And
wow.
It was really fun to feel like, you know, I shared with Emily, I said it felt like I was, you know, introducing my two different families together. And it was really great, too. I really appreciated seeing a side of my family that was kind of very warm and hospitable. And afterwards, my mom asked me questions about the workshop because, you know, now it wasn't just me that went, and she met other people that were there. And as I started sharing some of my experience with her, one of the things I noticed was that it was kind of hard for me because I would speak differently to, you know, if one of you weren't there and you asked me about it, I know there was a particular way that I would speak to you about it. And it felt like it was, you know, I felt like I bumped up against this another sense of laziness of, oh, I have to do the hard work of translating this into a way that my mom can receive it. But then also that led me to thinking about, well, what is it that I experienced and how can I share it, you know, in a way that doesn't require any, you know, kind of prior knowledge or any particular context. And so I think there's, you know, another edge for me in terms of sharing myself with my family is to consider my own experience and what is valuable and what is true for what I'm experiencing and how do I communicate that in ways that they can receive it.
Wow.
So that they're able to see me more.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And also that I'm able to, you know, offer something to them that it just, not just that they can see me, but that also then allows for the connection, you know, so that we can see each other and share with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the take home that I'm getting in this moment is that relationship building takes time. And Hui, you've been with your family your whole life, but you really laid some new bricks on that foundation. So what hopes do you have? We asked this in a different context in an earlier call, but what hopes do you have for yourself and your family going forward now?
Well, my hope is that I'm able to build on what, you know, on the coaching that you and I have done together and on the steps that I was able to take to build on that and to continue taking risks to, you know, share more of myself and also to continue being able to be perceptive to, you know, my family's needs and to be able to keep, you know, keep diving into the experience of them and their lives.
Yeah, great.
And I, you know, my hope really is to be able to feel that, you know, that when I talk about my community, that my family is part of my community as well. You know, and that of course they are in one way. You know, but oftentimes when I speak of community or spiritual or practice community, it feels like different. You know, to me.
Yeah.
So that my hope is to feel that that's not the case, you know, that when I say that's my community, that they're included.
Wow, thank you, Hui. All right, David, I'll turn it back to you.
Well, yeah, it's just fascinating. It sounds to me like, in addition to all the things that you tried, that the universe really conspired, right, like with your friend showing up and having to describe ISC, it actually conspired to give you lots of opportunity to work this in a variety of directions, which is just sort of interesting. I mean, not that it's magical or anything, but it's funny when we sort of set intentions that the universe sometimes will really show up and give us opportunity to carry out those intentions. So.
That's a really interesting insight because I never thought about it that way, but that's also true with that book. You know, the book, that yoga book, literally came, like, I think... the day before I left, and so it is interesting.
Well, it really sounds like this was quite an interesting and very productive visit. What I'd like to ask you now is, we've been really talking about your story and your family in detail, but if you had to give us like two takeaways about the integral coaching process in general, that this whole experience of going home and visiting in this way has shown you, what might those be? Were there two things about the process itself that you found valuable?
Yeah, you know, and of course, you know, I'm an integral coach myself, and so, you know, I have the experience of working with clients. And what's interesting and still what amazes me is that even though I have that experience, being a client myself doesn't it doesn't diminish anything of the power of it, even though, you know, I am a coach. Going through the process myself, it's still, it kind of never, in some ways, it never ceases to amaze me, the power of it. And I think there were, you know, a couple of things that I noticed. And the first thing was that I felt like I was able to change something that, for me, for many years, I could kind of just assume that, oh, that's just the way it is. You know, this is, oh, that's just the way that I relate to my family, and that's just the way that, you know, that my family interactions go. And it's kind of a certain feeling of almost like being stuck and not being able to change the situation, even though I had an intention to change it. And so now, through the coaching process, I feel that I've been able to see a new possibility and to have some experience of that new possibility that, wow, it actually can change and I can actually be proactive in changing it. And so now I feel more hopeful in that I can, like, feel like I can see a path, you know, that there's a path and a direction I can take in continuing this process. And, you know, I'm not all the way there, down that path there, but I feel just a sense of hope that at least I see that there is a path. So that in and of itself was, it was a powerful experience for me.
Well, this brings up this whole notion about, you know, that people ask and say, well, what could you possibly get out of just 3 sessions, right, of integral coaching? And I think what you're saying is that, I mean, obviously this is a long and evolving thing with our families, and it will continue to evolve over time. But you were really able, just with these 3 sessions that you and Susan did, to really shift to the possibility that it actually could change. And that's really powerful to happen, you know, just within that container, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, even before I went home, that started to happen with the shift in how I was relating to it,
right,
and just be able to name, oh, don't worry, be happy, shows up in this way. And, you know, that allows for a lot of things, but also clearly seeing how don't worry, be happy is limiting some of the possibilities, and being able to name it and see it as such, and then offering, you know, Susan offering me a practice to practically engage in, you know, as I mentioned, it gave me a different expectation, and then going in there and actually doing the practice, I actually got to experience. So it was like, oh, not only did I have a different insight or my awareness got expanded, I actually was able to show up differently and impact, you know, my family and the way that we interact.
Yeah.
And so it was a very, you know, it was kind of very powerful, and that just able to have that as, you know, to me it's like, wow, it really is possible.
Yeah, I find that very hopeful because, our families are very complicated, as we've said, complex relationships, and a lot of times I think a lot of us go, oh, it's never going to change, and if I really want to change, it would take me forever to do that. But look, you know, what's happened here in a relatively short period of time with some really skillful coaching from Susan, and then your willingness to step into that, that's impressive. That's impressive. Was there anything else? Was there something else that you noticed?
Yeah, there was something else, and based on, you know, kind of what I'm interested in, I would say that I'm somebody that's really into, you know, practices and growth and development, and, you know, to be honest, I would rather just say, you know, I'd rather to grow, I'd rather say, you know, just let me, you know, I'll do more yoga practice, or I'll go to a meditation retreat, or I'll keep reading more books and engage in my martial arts, and, you know, and so being engaged in a real challenge in my life and being honest about, okay, well, what is up for me? And using that as the focus of my practices, it kind of really enabled me to apply my capacities and my practice to something that was very meaningful and that really matters to me in my life. And at the same time, you know, what it reminded me of, it's very, you know, very straightforwardly, is that it reminded me of, this is actually why I practice in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes down to it, I'm not, you know, meditation and yoga and martial arts and these other things I do, you know, I mean, of course I enjoy doing them just for the sake of doing them, but really why I practice is so that I can show up differently in the world and be of greater service, and to, you know, when it comes down to it, is to be able to express more love in the world and to be able to offer that to others and create that together and, you know, and have the ability to impact other people and, you know, in positive ways. And so having this coaching process and my topic has really, you know, kind of became the catalyst and the, you know, the container for which I was able to offer that through. And so, yeah, and that felt like a, you know, it felt like it was a really great opportunity for me to be able to, to share, all of what I'm, kind of my life with my family in that way.
So, Susan, any thoughts on these two takeaways that Wee's just told us about? I mean, do you see these some of these same themes show up in your other coaching clients?
Yeah, absolutely. The two things are coming up for me before I want to go there. But, Hui, I'm wondering if you can talk about the importance of picking a topic. How did that help you?
Well, I think the how it really helped me was, one, is that it gave me something very specific to focus on, and it allowed me to, in terms of my current way of being, is that oftentimes I will underemphasize challenges.
Yeah.
And I'll just, kind of focus on the positive aspects and focus on the practice I am doing or how I, am moving forward. But focusing, for me, particularly focusing on the topic and recognizing the challenges I have within them, allowed me to kind of be honest about, for instance, that I'm afraid to take risks to share myself, or that I'm, make light of situations that are uncomfortable to me, or that I'm not, able to fully move into. So it allowed me to see these aspects of myself that I may have kind of, sort of swept under the rug, and that then allowed me to harness some of my actual other practices, like my bodily practices, to be able to move forward in something that, very, very much is very important to me.
Yeah. Yeah, David, I wanted to weave that in because the topic really becomes it's like a laser that allows the coaching process to have structure. And oftentimes our dilemmas are this maybe amorphous sense. We don't know why we're stuck, but we're stuck. And so really being able to get in the nuts and bolts of what's happening in a particular situation, then we can expand it, and then basically the world opens up, right? And one other thing that you said, Hui, is that your passion for doing the martial arts and all these energetic practices, something else I experience within the integral community, for those who maybe don't orient that way, but they love the map, and they love reading all of the books, that wonderful books that Ken Wilber's written, and yet they might have difficulty maybe engaging in action, whether it's just doing something on behalf of themselves or engaging in other people. And so whatever the topic or challenge is, we tend to have favorites, like where our home base, where we operate from, and just staying there and filling up with that doesn't necessarily translate into our being able to be skillful in the other areas of our lives. So one thing I've noticed as a coach is that these three themes that we spoke to earlier definitely emerge across clients and topics. So it's natural to revise our expectations as we seek to change the way we relate to ourselves and to others in general. So with new information, we revise expectations, ideally. And similarly, at the heart of waking up and growing up lies the invitation to expand our repertoire of skillful means and to embody emotional maturity. And that gets back to how do we manage our emotions. So development seems to hinge upon our capacity to work through these three themes with each iteration of our being. So that means across quadrants, across lines and states and stages and types. And as we've discussed with Hui, integral coaching is a sophisticated process that really supports this unfolding. And the first two conversations, the intake and the offer, initiate the first of many significant developmental shifts. So clients realize they can change for the better. And then by the third coaching conversation, they're already experiencing an organic emergence of new capacities, which is what we're witnessing in today's conversation with Hui. And so those capacities are then spanning quadrants, lines, states, and types. They're generalizing. Yeah. So the process of embodiment thickens with each successive coaching conversation. And by the end of a full coaching program, which generally takes about 5 to 8 months, clients are self-assessing, self-generating, and self-sustaining. In other words, they're able to hold as object their current way of seeing, going, and checking, and they can generate their own practices without a coach because they now have a clear understanding of their strategic developmental edge. And then consequently, they're able to sustain the growth they've embodied in their topic. So for me, it's just it's a fascinating and deeply moving experience to witness. I love it.
Well, thanks for that, Susan. That's for both of you for wrapping that up, because I really wanted to get to sort of what those couple of takeaways were about the coaching process itself that we all see as extremely, extremely powerful. So as we bring your story to a close here, this is our last show tonight. I want to thank you for letting us share your relationship with your family. As we've been saying all along, it's a very brave thing of you to do, to reveal so much in front of 800 people that listen to this. And based on the audience's response, it really helped all of us look at our own relationships as well. So I just want to say one final thank you to you, and any sign-off to the audience on your behalf?
Yeah, well, you're welcome. When I went to Integral Spiritual Experience, a few people came up to me, both people I knew and some actually that I had never met before, and shared that they had listened to this program and that how it impacted them in their own lives and how they went home for their holidays and how it was helpful to them, or how they resonated with aspects of my story. And so, that really, for me, that felt really nourishing. It's like, wow, I was able to share my story, and it felt really good to know that it was received and it was supportive of other people in their own lives. And so, I will receive your thanks, and I would also like to say that, thank all of you for making it possible. Thank you, David, thank you, Susan, and thank all of you for listening. Because this process has been, a little bit scary for me, but also very rewarding in what it has made possible for me and how I made it to show up with my family. And, recognizing that doing so and this work I'm doing with my parents and my siblings also will have impact on how I, continue as a parent and raising my children, which to me is one of the top priorities in my life. And so it's been a great honor and privilege to be a part of this.
Thank you, Rick. Susan, boy, what can I say? Thanks to you for guiding us through Hui's coaching process as he wrestled with this complex maze of his relationships with his family members. Any final thoughts before we do our last bit of duty, which is to announce the winner of our 3-session coaching prize?
Sure. I again want to deeply honor you, David, and Hui for being here with me and for the support that we have received just from our listeners. As Hui said, I've definitely appreciated hearing feedback at the impact that we're having. Thank you, Integral Life, and I am deeply indebted to Joanne Hunt and Laura Devine with Integral Coaching Canada for transmitting their wisdom to Hui and I as coaches, and I'm just very, very grateful to have had this experience, and I do hope that it has a longer-term impact than anything that we'll realize. So thank you so much, and Happy New Year to everyone.
And Happy New Year, yes. And I've been honored to, just go on the ride with the two of you and to sort of see how the audiences react. This has just been a great thing for me as well. Of course, I think about all my family relationships and my interactions with them as we've gone, so it's really been helpful to me as well. But now is the moment that our brief semifinalists have been waiting for. And, based on the audience vote, we are going to announce which of their three stories has won the three-session coaching prize. The voting was actually really close, but a true winner did emerge. So the winner of the Integral Coaching three-session prize is story two. And this was the story that chronicled the heartbreak of the man who was not accepted by his family as a result of his openly gay relationship. And the audience felt that the combination of him not being able to go home for the holidays with his partner and his estrangement from his brother's family, even after years of acceptance, made his situation truly deserving of the coaching session's prize. So congratulations to you, and we will be in touch about setting up your coaching sessions. And, you know, we just hope that they will bring you some perspective that will help lessen your suffering around this very deeply emotional issue for you. And well, that's it for the Home for the Holidays teleseminar. We are thrilled that you found this exploration so useful to your own lives. And if you are interested in being coached by Susan or we or any of our other fine Integral coaches, you can go to www.integrallife.com, click on the coaching tab at the top of the homepage, and then click on the green box that reads Coach Me. It's in the top right corner, and you can sign up through that for the coach of your choice. We're also going to present lots more coaching topics like Home for the Holidays in 2010 on integrallife.com, so stay tuned. And if they're anything like this one, I'm sure they're going to be provocative and helpful and meaningful to all of us and all of you in developing a truly integral life. Good night, everyone.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas. If all